always good to hear that Christmas story in a kind of a different language almost. I'm just kidding. That was beautiful. I keep teasing Michael all the time that I have a serious man crush on his voice. I mean, I could just listen to him read scripture all day. It's just beautiful. Thank you. Well, thank you everyone for joining us. I hope you're enjoying yourselves and I hope you're having a good time. God bless you. From the bottom of our hearts here at Journey, we want to wish you and yours a very Merry Christmas. Thank you for choosing to be here. Those that are regular, we love you guys. We're so grateful to be here and do community and do life with you. We love you with all our hearts. We're so proud of what Journey has done in 2018. It's just been a year of tremendous blessing for us as a community, as a body, and we're so thankful for all your guys' activity and all your guys' service, and just the way that you've blessed us is amazing. We just want to say that we're continuously praying for you. We're interceding for you. Thank you so much for entrusting us with the most sensitive and the most critical times of your lives. And we want to be there for you and with you and bless you. So thank you so much. This year has been awesome. This year truly has been awesome. And God has done some amazing things. And we look forward to him doing tremendous things going forward in 2019 as well. Well, as I was preparing for this devotional this evening, and as the weeks drew closer to this day, God impressed more clearly and succinctly as if never before, as if he was giving me this mandate that you need to share this. You need to share this. He impressed this on my heart in a real powerful way. And so forgive me up front if I get a little fired up. Not that I don't get fired up naturally, those that know me, but I just have such a burden with this, and I want to share this. I think it's going to be a blessing to us all. I came across and was reading some historical accounts of World War I. Now, I'm not a big history buff or a big history guy, but this story was so powerful that it moved me to share it with you this evening. I discovered that 104 years ago, this guy was assassinated. Right now, he wasn't the president of his country or the leader of his nation. He was an Austrian archduke named Franz Ferdinand. Yeah, you probably never heard of him either, right? But he was assassinated in the summer of 1914. And it was his assassination that sparked and escalated a global conflict. Austria declared war on who they thought was the perpetrator of this act, Serbia. So then Russia steps in to defend their Serbian brothers and declares war on Austria. Germany steps in to defend Austria, and they declare war on Russia. Within a matter of hours, a day or so, France declares war on Germany. Germany then declares war on Belgium. And finally, in just a matter of a week's time, Britain jumps into the game declaring war on Germany. All this happened in a matter of a few days. And all this happened because of this poor man's life. Now, I don't want to disparage this brother's life. I'm sure he was a precious man. But it did not need to escalate to this global conflict. Something so simple would end up costing over 4 years' period of time, what we call World War I. Some have estimated between 16 and 20 million people lost their lives during that conflict. And all this happened mainly because a tactic that they used at the time called trench warfare. Trench warfare. See if you can find any modern day parallels to this. Right? Trench warfare was basically, it meant that you would establish your position, you would dig yourself in that position, and you would hide yourself in that position, never coming eye to eye really with your enemy. You would just establish your line and what you believe, and you would hurl a bunch of bombs and ammo towards the other person's way. And this tactic alone was the reason that so many people lost their lives during World War I. Well, interestingly enough, history records that the battle lines during this period did not move much. Right? Let me say it this way. Not much was accomplished during World War I. Right? The battle lines didn't move. Geography wasn't exchanged. Just a lot of people died during this conflict. Well, 6 months into the war, as it's raging on, the first Christmas, the Christmas of 1914 arrives, and on Christmas Eve, We don't know who it was first, whether it was a Frenchman, whether it was a British man, whether it was a German, but on the Western front of this conflict, someone stepped right in the middle of this battle line and declared a ceasefire. Well, because it was Christmas Eve. And although there was so much that they disagreed upon, and so much that they were upset about, and so much that they fought over on Christmas Eve, they realized that they had a lot in common on that day, that the German, the British, and the French were Christians, and they wanted to celebrate the birth of their Savior. And this common ground caused them to come together and actually talk to each other and look each other in the eye. And they ate together, and they ended up telling stories together and sharing in life and even playing games together with their weapons on the ground. They enjoyed each other's company. They were hanging out with each other. And history records that that night, something changed them. Something changed them. So much so that the next day, when the fighting was to resume, they didn't want to pull the trigger anymore. They couldn't kill the person. They just spent the night with having Stumptown coffee with. Come on, somebody, right? They had met their enemy and realized they had more in common and they had more common ground than they actually did disagreements. And history records that the commanding officers had to reassign them to different fronts just to get them to shoot their weapons again. In fact, they had a term that they came up with and they made a new rule. It was called no fraternization with the enemy, right? Because you can't kill somebody that you hate if you know them. Because if you do know them, you're not going to kill them. That was called the Christmas Truce of 1914. The Christmas Truce of 1914. Now, I think we live in a similar time. Maybe there is not an actual war with guns going on and with weapons, but there is a war going on inside of our hearts. And we have more people entrenched in their positions, and there is more ammo being hurled toward people that we're not even coming eye to eye with, as if we're not even people, and it's mainly happening through the internet and through social media. Right now, I don't want to kill or dog social media or the internet, anything like that. I personally don't have a great influence on social media. I kind of get on sometimes through my wife's account and voyeur people. I mean, truth be told, right? It's Christmas. We got to be honest, right? But as soon as I get on there, I get off as fast as I can because people will make comments. People will post things. People will say things and hurl ammo at you and at others as if you're not even a real person. And there's fighting between Republicans, and there's fighting between Democrats, and there's fighting between politics, between race, between marriages, between families, between sons and daughters, and parents and parts of the country. We're all entrenched in this trench warfare. See, I've about come to the conclusion that social media is of the devil, or at least the devil is using it to cause a global conflict. And nobody wants to change their position or do anything about it. In fact, we all have this tension going on in our hearts as we get on social media. I'm not sure how it affects you, but this is how it affects me. This year, as I reflected over the year, there have been some amazing things that God has done. There have been some amazing things that were accomplished in my life and my family's life. But overall, this was an exhausting year emotionally. With what's going on in our country, the polarization, the murders, the hatred, the vileness, the vitriol that ends up on the internet, on the social media, all over the place. I personally am really concerned. This is coming from a young guy. I truly believe that we need to come back together again. We need to meet on this battle line, come out of our trenches, look each other in the eye, have some coffee, have some cabbage rolls or cinnamon rolls, and let Christmas serve as the catalyst to bring us together. Amen? So I'm calling this the Christmas Truce of 2018. The Christmas Truce. I'm declaring it right now. Probably won't get published in your paper or anything, but the Christmas Truce of 2018, okay? Because we do need husbands and wives to come back together. Families coming back together. Needs to happen. We really need a healing of our homes, of our communities, of our neighborhoods, of our counties, of our country. Christmas can be a catalyst for a truce. Now, what is a truce? Well, a truce is a suspension in the fight. I'm really mad at you right now, but I'm going to let something, and for us, that's going to be Christmas, let it serve as a catalyst for me to lay down my weapons. Well, how do truces work? Same way like they did 104 years ago. Someone has to take the first step. Someone has to come into the battle line. Someone has to step out with a white flag and say, hey, cease fire. The problem is everybody is waiting for the other person to do it, right? Because I'm not wrong. You're wrong. You're not wrong. I'm wrong. Everybody's wrong except me, right? We're all wrong. We're all waiting for the other person to make the first step. Listen to me very carefully this evening. I'm calling on the church of the living God to be the ones that step into our communities, the one that step into our families and say, it's time for the fighting to stop. It's time for this fighting to stop. Why not us? Why not now? We need to be willing to drop down our weapons, to drop our ideologies, because we're making the things that we believe about more important than the actual people. We're missing people. Instead of focusing on what unites us, we focus on what divides. Yes, there may be some differences in ideologies and politics. I get all that. But why does it have to be so evil? Why do we have to get so vile? Why can't we focus on the fact that we're Christians? We all serve the same Lord and Savior. We celebrate His birth and come together in unity. Because when we do, I believe something changes. I believe something happens. Something changes. You see, on that moonlit night in 1914, as those rough and tough soldiers dropped their weapons, laughed, socialized, ate food together, as a war was going on externally, I think a conflict, a war, was being settled internally. I think they left there changed. And I think we have the opportunity today to leave here changed. Not to just attend another Christmas event, but to experience a Christmas event, to experience a truce, to experience a change. Why not now? Why not this day? Give it a chance. Give Christmas, truce of 2018, a chance to bring healing to your relationships, to bring healing to your communities, to bring healing to your families, to bring healing to the war that may be raging inside of your heart. Now the world, they don't do it this way, right? If you try the world's way, the world deals with conflict. In fact, they have a word for it. It's called conflict resolution, right? And what a resolution is, you just kind of keep working at it, trying to figure out who did what, and you try to declare a winner and a loser. That's what ultimately happened in World War I, right? Well, it took 4 years for that to be accomplished, and we lost about 20 million people in the process. Well, the Bible does it a little bit different, right? You don't resolve a conflict. You bring conflict to reconciliation. Conflict, reconciliation. It's very different. What this means, what reconciliation means, is to bring back together, not by resolving, but by bringing the balance of an account back to zero. Back to zero. And that's what Jesus did for us, right? He came in and saw the mess that was our lives. He came and saw the mess that was my life. But He didn't discuss my sin. He didn't ask me about it. He just forgave it. He cleansed me of my sin, forgived my sin, and there was no discussion. And thank God for that, because we probably would have spent 4 hours on 1998 alone, right? Come on. Who's with me, right? No, He just came into my life and said, hit the reset button and said, do over. Sins are forgiven. Debt canceled. Reconcile. This is why the banks used to call it a banking reconciliation statement. Now, I know that doesn't mean much for you young people because you just do everything online, but there is a mailbox that you would receive mail in, real mail, right? Okay, that was a lot funnier in my head than it was as it came out, right? But you would receive this mail and it was a bank statement with all your expenditures. And then you would take your checkbook and try to balance that, reconcile that, and come to balance of zero. Right? Here's my Christmas message for us. God wants to bring the balance of your heart to zero and then give you the ability to do it to others as well. Here it is in His Word. I want to read this to you. Ephesians 2, 14 to 16. For Christ Himself brought, let's say it together, peace. Peace. It can happen. Peace in your marriage. Peace in your neighborhood. Peace in your community. Peace in your heart. How did he do it? He united. It says Jews and Gentiles, but enter two people groups, any two people groups that you want. Democrats, Republicans, husbands, wives, children, kids and parents and kids, any two groups you want. He united them into one people when in his own body on the cross, he broke down the wall. In other words, he went out into that battlefield. He stepped out. He made the first move and he declared a ceasefire. And he says of hostility that the separated us. He made, there it is again, peace between these people groups, bringing them to one, from one to two, from two groups to one. Together as one body, Christ, there it is, reconciled both groups to God by means of his death. That means he canceled out our debt. He brought us to zero, all of us. And then here's what we're called to do. And our hostility towards each other was put to death. Our hostility towards each other was put to death. Since I have been forgiven, since I have been, my debt has been wiped clean, now my mandate and my mission, my ministry is to do the same to others, to do the same for others. Through Jesus, God brings our balance to zero and asks us to do the same for others. Here it is in 2 Corinthians 5, verses 18 and 19. All this is from God, who, there it is again, reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us, here's the mandate, here's kind of how he's prompting us, here's what we need to do, the ministry of reconciliation, right? That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting, so he's not keeping a debt, he's not keeping a record, he's wiped our slate clean, people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message, there it is, we are to be people there are reconcilers, this message of reconciliation. Now he wants you to go do it to others. See, when you are reconciled to God, he gives us the power to reconcile with others. Now I know I'm asking a lot, and I know it's Christmas, right? And you can try to resolve it on your own ideas and using conflict resolution and all that, but there's going to be a lot of casualties in that wake. Now, don't get me wrong. Don't hear me miss saying that there's no room for counseling and discussions and that type of thing. There is, but you cannot resolve conflict biblically. You can reconcile conflict. And when God does that in your heart, you open up your heart to him and say, God, I want that reconciliation. A miracle happens in your life. And a miracle happens in the world around you. And you may say, well, Pastor, you don't know my story. If you were to meet my wife, if you were to meet my husband, if you were to meet my kids, if you were to meet my boss, my coworkers, etc., it would change your mind. You'd have a different opinion. And I have all this other stuff, and this just can't happen in my life. I can't do this. And you're right, maybe you can't. But you can if God is working in your life in a powerful way. I want to challenge you this year as we declare the Christmas truths of 2019 or 2018 that 2019 becomes the year of reconciliation, the year of healing, the year where we take this seriously and we reconcile with others, that we bring our accounts to zero, that we just bring healing and bring balance to the people and to the relationships and to the people in our lives that we may have hurt, that we may have frustrated, that we don't have connection and worth. Take that journey with us. I challenge you. Take that journey with me. Bring it back to reconciliation. You see, God is in the truce business. The first truce wasn't in 1914. The first truce was on that night that we celebrate today, when God stepped into the chaos that was the world conflict between the Romans, between the Jews, between the shepherds and Mary and Joseph and Herod and Caesar Augustus. And all these guys were having their relational issues. And someone named Jesus stepped into the battle line of this conflict and declared a ceasefire, declared peace, declared, I bring good news of great joy for all people. And boy, his angels were some sort of fired up about it. Here's what they say. The angels come out and say, do not be afraid. I bring good news that will cause great joy for all the people, not just some of the people, for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth. There it is. Peace to those on whom his favor rests. You can have peace if God's working in your life. If you have reconciled with him on whom his favor rests, you get to control if that favor rests on you or not by taking steps towards him. And everybody, don't just experience Christmas this year. Don't just do Christmas. Don't just be here for an event. We want you to have this monumental peace that only he can provide come over you as you experience him in this Christmas. That could be the Christmas miracle that you need to make the whole difference in your life. Here's a beautiful hymn that we started off with, that we sang, that kind of speaks to this. It says, hark the herald angels sing. What were they singing? Glory to the newborn king. There it is again. Peace on earth and mercy mild. How? Please tell me. God and sinners reconciled. God and sinners reconciled. See, if you are here today, you are not reconciled to God. If you are carrying a load, if you don't have your balance to zero, you may be carrying your pain, you may be carrying your sin, you may be carrying shame, and you feel it, and it's heavy, and you're tired. Be reconciled to God tonight. God is ready to step into your life, to set the balance of your life to zero. If you surrender to his son, Jesus, you can leave here changed. You can leave here reconciled with God. So let's declare a truce tonight. Let's declare a ceasefire in the battle that may be warring in our hearts. I invite you to bow your heads with me, and we're going to close in prayer, and then we're going to sing. God, I thank you so much that you, Lord, came into this world when there was an unsettling in the chaos and in the midst of all that was going on. You came and declared peace. You came and said it's good news for everybody. Lord, we try our best to resolve conflict and to do it in our way, but we know that we need your reconciliation. We need you to come and X out the balance and bring us together. We want to lay our weapons down. We declare a truce this day, and we want to leave here changed. We want to leave here changed. Lord, we're asking for healings in our families. We're asking for healing in our neighborhoods. We're asking for healing with our coworkers, with our husbands, with our wives, with the people that are the most intimate with us, the people that we love the most. Lord, we pray for healings, and only you can do that. Only you can do that. Thank you, Lord. And it is in your name that we pray. Amen. So here's what's going to happen next. We're going to sing a carol, and then we'll have another carol at the end. I will step down. I will take a light from the Christ candle, and I will come down the middle of the aisle and start lighting all the candles. So if you're on my right, you just turn to the neighbor to your left and light it forward, and then it's going to just kind of spread this way. Over here, I'll light, and then it'll just kind of spread this way. I'll just step down, and we'll go through the middle aisle, and just hold on to that candle. Now, be mindful and observant of your surroundings, and just hold that. We're going to listen to the song, and then we'll come back and sing some more in a minute.